You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Blessed listeners, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and here we are, Friday. It is now, we are embarking on the third week of Lent. We'll be embarking very shortly. And, of course, this is a live prayer call-in line. In case you didn't realize that, we are always here, Alex and myself, Alex, our production engineer, and myself. And we have Father Charles here as well, who is in studio. And we are all here for you, blessed listeners, to take your prayer requests, to pray with you regarding many, many things that go on in our lives. And it's a never-ending, it's as quickly as the winds change, that's how quickly things happen in our lives, that we need prayer and we can pray together. And there's nothing more gratifying than knowing that someone is praying over you and with you. And so I urge you and welcome you and encourage you. Call us at this number, 416-245-1534. Do call us. You don't have to give us your name. You can just tell us what your request is or what is on your mind and you'd like to share your faith with us. This is, as I say, a live prayer call-in line, and we are like you who love God, who love Jesus, who are on this trail of Lent, and we are embarking on it together, my friends. So don't hesitate. I encourage you, bring your requests to us, and we would love to pray over them and with you together. I know you will feel better when you do. And if you prefer, you can always email us. And if you're familiar with email, which I'm sure you are, it's Q-U, like Queen, Q-U-I-L-T at radiomaria.ca. And you can just email us and we would share your name, but we would share your requests and that we would pray over them. And if you don't want us to air them, we don't even have to do that. But we are here for you, blessed listeners. We know what it's like. It's an afternoon and sometimes you may feel quite alone or maybe something has just happened and you need prayer. Well, you've come to the right place. Radio Maria is here for you worldwide. And here we are because we love you and care about you and we love our Blessed Mother who has ordained this beautiful ministry to us called Radio Maria. And we're so grateful that we can have this opportunity to be with you. And with that, having said that, I would like to begin with a Hail Mary, as we always begin our broadcast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, my blessed listeners, as you know, we are now going into the third, we are in the middle of Lent. And the Holy Mother Church puts these two very powerful readings from the Bible in front of our eyes. And she doesn't glorify human suffering, and nor does she rejoice that humans must suffer. but the Roman Catholic Church has devoted hundreds of billions of dollars to the alleviation of human suffering, the care of the sick and the suffering, as well as the elderly. Our church needs no defense against her enemies. She stands with Abraham, Moses, and Jesus Christ, in the certain faith that God will not let the gates of hell prevail against her. So here we are in the beginning of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman. And this Samaritan woman at the well has a checkered past, and the women of the community drew their water early in the day, and she doesn't want to be seen, so she comes at an off hour. And when Jesus, who is a Jew, speaks to her, she's taken aback. Jews at that time didn't usually speak with Samaritans. In fact, a little later, when his disciples join him, they aren't too impressed on the fact that Jesus was chatting with a Samaritan woman either. Now, just to give you a little background, in ancient times, and here, this is just, it's the scripture is so up to date. You don't have to think of scripture as something old, but think of it as something now and in the present and in our future. In ancient times, a bridegroom would meet his bride at the well. In meeting this woman at a well, we can see the imagery of Jesus as the bridegroom, calling both the Samaritan people and ourselves into union with him. And you may ask, who were these Samaritans? Well, they were a group of people who claimed to be direct descendants of two tribes of Israel who survived the destruction of the northern kingdom by Assyria. They claimed that they had preserved the true religion of the chosen people, and the religion as practiced by the Jews had been changed and altered during the Babylonian exile. Both Samaritan and Jewish rabbis taught that it was immoral to have contact with the other group, and neither was to enter the other's land. For Jesus, not only being traveling in Samaria, but to be talking to not just a Samaritan, but a woman, would have been utterly scandalous. But, like the Jews, the Samaritans believe that there is only one God, and that the Torah was given to Moses by God. So, imagine in this week's study, and this week, we're talking about where the bridegroom has come to meet his bride. And like a beautiful bridegroom lovingly seeking his bride, Jesus desires this Samaritan woman and her people, whom she represents, to be reunited with God. The Samaritan woman has been a bride 5 times, and Jesus points this out. But then he goes beyond, reminding her of her failure by reaching into her deepest wounds of rejection and of lack of love, to tell her that he is the long-awaited one, the Messiah, the one who will fulfill her deepest thirsts and longings. Through her, Jesus invites the Samaritan people, who were separated from the people of Israel, to return to their true bridegroom. And by extension, he also invites all of us, my friends, all of us who come to him with open, thirsting hearts, to join him at every Mass, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, so that we might say with the Samaritans, this is truly the Savior of the world. Jesus is not judging you, my friend. He doesn't look at you in disappointment. He has looked at you in the likeness of himself. He has made you that way. But now with Lent, he is saying to all of us, come home. Come home. Just as you are right now. Broken. Rejected. Ridiculed. Isolated. Come home. He wants you to come to him. Let's not be a slave to all the sins that we've committed, and we will commit. Let's come with our dirtiness, with our brokenness to Jesus. St. Paul expresses the fulfillment of the promise given by Christ in our gospel, reading of streams of living water that will become a fountain within, leaping up to provide eternal life. St. Paul writes to the church at Rome that the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It was from the pierced side of Christ which flowed blood and water that the saving tide began to flow. St. Paul identifies the saving death as the source of the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, which transform godless, powerless sinners into children of the Father. He reminds us that you cannot say that whatever you've been given is because of your own work, so that any boasting be done, that it's in the grace in which we now stand. And grace, of course, means gift. So if any glory is to be given, it should be re-given and given to God who gives, not to the undeserving who receive it, among whom St. Paul includes himself. Jesus encourages all his disciples to look at the world anew and to see beyond the borders of Israel and beyond the national and racial limits of Jacob, Israel. Open your eyes, my friends, and see. The fields are shining for harvest, he exclaims. The universal purpose of God's saving work in Christ is given in its last words in the last line of the reading from John 4. From verses 5 to 42. This is truly the Savior of the world. In Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. That's you and I. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Put God's word first in front of you. Get into God's word. He will help you. But he is telling you, and he's telling you and me, if you have listened to my word and you hear my word, then you must act accordingly. And so, like the Samaritan woman, we too have so much guilt and so many things. But God doesn't judge us. Jesus loves us, loves you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what is it that each and every one of us must take away from today's reflection? First of all, to be a Christian, we must be God-centered, not self-centered. God must be our priority. And more important is for us to glorify God through our words, our actions, and our deeds. And as Christians, we must obey the Lord and follow His will in everything we do. And it is inevitable that in our lives, we are going to encounter difficulties and persecution. Maybe you already have challenges and obstacles, just as the Lord and His disciples had encountered, and just as Abraham surely had encountered in his own life. The Lord Jesus Himself did not call His disciples to a life of happiness, joy, and comfort, as what we surely want to have with our lives. No, He called us to a life filled both with joy of serving the Lord as well as the realization of suffering, by calling us to take up our cross and to follow Him. In this season, my dear friends, a season of Lent, we're called to rediscover our real true priority in life. Not your job, not your home, not a brand new car. It's God. That is why we fast. Some of us may have a smaller meal and eat less meat. Do something to bring honor to God. I think that would be wonderful. And I think that in your own way, it doesn't have to be food, but to deny yourself something so that as to restrain ourselves, as well as abstinence, that we can look beyond all sorts of earthly goodness and sources of happiness that we're familiar with, known to us since we were born. We have been inundated with the various happiness that we can gain from the world, whether it's prestige, wealth, fame, pleasures of the body, pleasures of the stomach, good food, and many others. But are these really, truly sources of happiness that will last? Brothers and sisters, shall we make best use of this time of Lent to rediscover our faith and understand what it is that we need to be faithful to God? Why? And to put Him above all else, following the examples that Abraham, our father in faith, has shown us. And the Lord Jesus Himself showed us. After all, if God has always been faithful to His covenant with us, not holding back His own Son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified for us, that we may live in the manner of Abraham's faith, why should we not show the same commitment and faith to the covenant God who made us? Let us draw ever, ever closer to God, my friends, and follow His ways. Let us be passionate, filled with zeal, that we are going to seek Him ever and to be ever more faithful to Him and to obey Him as far as possible in all the things that He has commanded us to do. May the Lord bless us all in our journey of faith, that we may grow in our relationship with Him and find our way to His everlasting grace. Today, I don't know many of you out there, but I remember hearing a young man preaching, and he wasn't a Presbyterian, and he wasn't a Jew, and he wasn't a Catholic, but he had the passion and the love of God in him. And today is the passing and the funeral of Reverend Dr. Billy Graham. And those of you who are familiar with him will know, you may have some books at home yourself, or maybe you've seen him, if you are one of the fortunate to have seen him preach and enter your faith. He had brought millions and millions and millions upon millions of people to God. And he also would tell you he was a spiritual advisor to many United States presidents as well. But he always made, when I would listen to him and when I hear our parish priest speak, it always gives me cause to approach my own spiritual life and to ask myself, you know, what do I want? Why do I seek God, his power and control over me? Do I hope that he will help me with all of this? And to the extent that your answer is yes, and to those of us who do seek Jesus, our church has always taught us that Jesus is true God and true man. And so this Sunday's gospel that will be coming up, and of course I don't want to give it away to you so that you're sitting there and saying, oh, well, Christine already told me, so I don't need to go to church. We wouldn't want that to happen, especially when you really, truly, you know, it's a wonderful time of peace and quiet and reflection and hearing God's word and being among those who love Jesus like you do, my friends. And it's a time to open up your heart and to bring that sacrament of reconciliation to fruition, to realize that we all need reconciliation. So you think about today's gospel and the liturgy, the symbol of water, to refer to our own relationship with God. And water represents God's Spirit, which comes to us in baptism. It is the outward symbolic sign of a deep reality, the coming of God as a force penetrating every aspect of a person's life. And the Spirit quenches our spiritual thirst. The Holy Spirit, just as water in the desert was life-giving for the wandering Israelites, the water of a true loving relationship with Jesus is life-giving for those of you who accept him as Lord and Savior. We share in this water of eternal life and salvation. The Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the sacraments of God in the church are the primary sources for the living water of divine grace. Washed in it at baptism, renewed by its abundance at Eucharist, invited to it in every proclamation of the Word, and daily empowered by the Spirit, we are challenged by today's gospel to remain thirsty for the living water which only God can give. The first reading describes how God provided water to the ungrateful complainers of Israel, and thus placing Jesus' promise within the context of the Exodus account of water coming from the rock at Horeb. And the responsorial Psalm 95 refers both to the rock of our salvation and Psalm 95, here it is. Just a little, verse 8. Oh, that today that you would listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore, in my anger I swore, they shall not enter my rest. Jesus is here for us. Oh, come, come and sing to the Lord and make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, brothers and sisters. Make a joyful noise to him with a song of praise in your mouth. Wherever you go, in your car, when you're walking your dog, or you're just shopping, or whatever you are doing in that moment, thank God for every moment and everything that you have in your life. There is no reason for you not. In this season of Lent, we're challenged to renew our efforts at prayer. And in order to achieve these goals, we need something of Christ's passion and zeal, which is captured in the account of the money changers in the temple. Remember? The gospel account ends with John, the evangelist, remarking that he, Jesus, could tell what a man had in him. Jesus wants our faith to occupy center stage in our life. Not over to the side, not behind you, not beside you, but in front of you. It is therefore implicit that we are not held ransom to secular forces that may prevail. It is also important that we don't accept the status quo without considering how we, you and me, can be agents of change. Oh Lord, the hour of your favor draws near, the day of your mercy and our salvation, when death was destroyed and eternal life began. We acknowledge our sins, and our offenses are always before us. Blot out all our wrongdoings and give us a new and steadfast spirit. Restore us to your friendship and number us among the living who share the joy of your Son's risen life. Gracious Saint Joseph, protect my listeners and myself and our families from all evil, as you did the Holy Family. Kindly keep us ever united in the love of Christ, ever fervent in imitation of the virtue of our Blessed Lady, your sinless spouse, and always faithful in devotion to you. Amen. Well, my dear listeners, we pray that like the woman of Samaria, we can review our lives before Christ and acknowledge our sins, that we may be freed from the spirit of mistrust that deters people from following Christ. What's holding you back? What's keeping you apart from Jesus? Jesus says, welcome home. Jesus has the doors open wide for you to come, that while waiting the gift of God, we may long with all our hearts for the living water that brings eternal life, and that by accepting the Son of God as our teacher, we can become true worshipers of the Father in spirit and in truth, that we may share with our friends and neighbors the wonder of our meeting with Christ. Dear listeners, the Samaritan woman makes us all reflect and gives us an opportunity for all of us to come to the living water. There's one of my favorite Bible passages I love reading over and over again. It has to be the book of Ephesians. I tell you, my dear listeners, you have to read Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 15. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Lord God, our Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, my friends, a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world. All of us who once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But here it is. Here's your closing, and here's your anchor. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, my friends, you have been saved, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might know the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. My dear, precious, gentle listeners, I pray that this coming Lent and this journey that you're embarking, that today you have welcomed Jesus into your heart, that you recognize that we are all sinners and we need forgiveness. We need the sacrament of reconciliation. We need to come, and he will give us a clean spirit, a clean heart. He will change us. He is transforming us. I ask the Lord Jesus to bless each and every one of you who are listening. And those of you who feel compelled to email us or call us as we are praying over your requests, we are grateful to be given that opportunity. And we thank you and look forward to seeing and talking to you in the coming weeks as we are on our Lenten journey. May God richly bless you and your family. Till next time, goodbye.